Rock and roll was born, or invented, in a tiny recording studio in Memphis, Tennessee, a place called Sun Records. It was run by the legendary Sam Phillips, the guy who discovered Elvis Presley, Howlin' Wolf, and Johnny Cash. Sam Phillips had a big vision and an expansive philosophy, and the sound he created was a form of social and musical protest. He was looking for something revolutionary, music that would destroy boundaries of class and race. At least that's how Peter Guralnick sees it. Guralnick is one of the most widely admired writers on American music. Maybe you remember Last Train to Memphis or Careless Love, his classic two-volume biography of Elvis Presley. Now he's come out with the definitive biography of Sam Phillips. It's called Sam Phillips, the man who invented rock and roll. Guralnick tells Steve Paulson what it felt like to finally score an interview with the guy after 8 years of trying.
For me, it was one of the most inspiring moments, I think, that I've ever had.
Why? Why was it so inspiring to talk with him?
What we spoke about, put his achievement, put what he had done in a philosophical context, and it had to do with freedom, it had to do with choice, it had to do with the importance of pursuing your own path, of resisting the drumbeat of conformity that seemed to be enveloping everything then in 1979 and now. And ultimately, it was the idea that if you lose that freedom, if you lose that individuality, if you lose that, what he called individualism in the extreme, he would say with emphasis, but if you lost that, you not only lost your freedom, you actually, he said, one of these days we're going to wake up in jail and not even know it. And to me, that was as prescient a statement as it could have been made. If it applied to the time, it could just as readily apply to now.
Hmm. So it sounds like Sam Phillips had this grand vision of what we're supposed to do with our lives. I mean, he was much more than just a record producer.
He had a vision of everything that he believed the music could do. And fundamentally, he believed the music could cross all boundaries. It could break down the doors of segregation. It could break down social distinctions. I mean, in some ways, it was a Whitman-esque vision. I might have called the book I Hear America Singing, The Vision of Sam Phillips. People might not have known what I was talking about, and I don't even know if Sam read Walt Whitman. But it was the idea that everybody has their song, that the common people, the common folk, men and women, all have something unique to say that only is waiting to be discovered, and they have a message that once the mainstream audience hears it, and in this case, to a large extent, he's talking about a white audience hearing African-American sounds, once that mainstream audience hears it, they're going to be won over. There would be no going back. They would recognize the profundity of what they were hearing. So that was really the vision that fueled him from the very start, from the time he was a kid.
In early 1950, Sam Phillips opened the Memphis Recording Service, and a year later, he recorded what is commonly regarded as the first rock and roll record, Rocket 88, by Jackie Brenston and his Delta Cats. Can you tell me about this song?
The band was really Ike Turner's Kings of Rhythm, and Sam released it as Jackie Brenston and his Delta Cats. Ike was about 18 or 19 then, but no different from what he was later. He was a very strong-minded person, a person with tremendous drive and imagination. He was not pleased to discover that Sam had renamed his band and given his vocalist, the vocalist on this tune, the credit for a song that Ike thought he was going to get credit for himself. But Sam liked Jackie Brenston's vocals better than Ike's, and that's what he went with. Ike Turner and the band drove up to Memphis to make a record in March of 51. They encountered the usual problems, which persist to this day, of driving while black, so they got stopped several times on their way up to Memphis. But they also had a flat tire, and getting the spare tire out of the trunk, they dropped the guitar amp and they busted a tube in the amp. So when they arrived in the studio and they plugged the guitar in and they heard this buzz coming out of it, the band was just crestfallen because Sam couldn't get another amp at short notice, and they just thought, well, they'd blown their opportunity. And Sam listened and he said, no, this is different. This is original. This is the sound we want. And you can hear that buzz running all the way through the recording. And it's almost like he's added another audio dimension to the music.
You women have heard of jalopy, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along.
And that's the song that went to number one on the R&B charts almost immediately, sold over 100,000 copies and made both his reputation and Ike Turner's.
Now, Sam Phillips is famous, among other things, for kind of discovering a lot of musicians who became legendary. One, certainly, was Howlin' Wolf. And you say Phillips was mesmerized by Howlin' Wolf. He considered Howlin' Wolf one of the most gifted musicians he'd ever heard.
Oh, I think the most gifted. I mean, he considered Howlin' Wolf the most profound of all the artists he ever recorded. He never wavered in that belief. He said of Howlin' Wolf that this was the one artist that he would have recorded till the day he died if he could have. And, I mean, from the moment he first heard Wolf, a friend of his over at a radio station in West Memphis, KWEM, called him up and said, "We've got a guy over here selling farm implements and tools, you know, and I think this is the kind of music you like," which I don't think was intended entirely as a compliment. And Sam listened in the next day at noon on Howlin' Wolf's 15-minute broadcast. And it was a terrible reception. The signal was bad. There was all kinds of crackle. And Sam said from the moment he heard Wolf's voice, he said, "This is it. This is where the soul of man never dies." And in a lot of ways, Howlin' Wolf represented the very epitome, the pinnacle of everything that he had ever sought to record or even to discover in music. When he got him into the studio for the first time, and he said he didn't want to put any pressure on Wolf. Wolf's real name was Chester Arthur Burnett, named for our, you can tell me what number president Chester Arthur was, but I can't tell you. He didn't want to put any pressure on Wolf, and he called him up. He said, "Listen, come in anytime. Anytime you feel like it, just come on in. We'll see what you sound like. No promises, no nothing." And I'm not sure when Wolf showed up, but Sam was there 18 hours a day, so it wouldn't have made much difference. And he came in with a guitarist named Willie Johnson and his drummer, Willie Steele. They started playing, and Sam sort of tried to look like he was busy in the control room. He didn't want to interfere with anything else. And as they got into the music, he said he was just so mesmerized. He was just blown away by the music. He came out into the room, and he tried to look like he was busy. He was sort of adjusting mics and stuff like that. He said, "But really, for one of the few times in his life, he couldn't think of a single thing to do, not because there wasn't anything to do, but just because he was so completely drawn in by the music. But he didn't want them to think, this little white guy doesn't know what he's doing."
Do you have a favorite Howlin' Wolf song that Sam Phillips produced?
Oh, I think "Moanin' at Midnight" would be my favorite. It's the first one that Wolf recorded, and I think Sam wrote to Gene Nobles at WLAC, the late night DJ. He said, "I think this is the most different record I've ever heard, even if I recorded it myself," and I think it is. All of Wolf's work is of a piece. I mean, you could listen to everything that he recorded up into the 70s, and you could be equally transported. "Moanin' at Midnight" has a purity to it, as Sam said. You know, he thought it was the most different record he ever heard, and I think it is.
"Yeah, somebody knocking on my door.
Now, we can't really talk about Sam Phillips without talking about Elvis. Do you think there is a quintessential Elvis Presley Sun Records recording?
Well, you know, probably "Mystery Train."
"Well, that long black train got my baby and gone."
Because of its spontaneity, because of the fact that it sounds as if it's a first take. I mean, there are no other takes that have survived, and I don't know if it actually is. It just has a sense of such sheer joy and spontaneity. You can hear Elvis laughing, his laugh trailing off at the end, Sam said, because he didn't think it was a real take. He thought it was just a, you know, rehearsal. And I think in that sense of what Jack Kerouac called spontaneous Bach prosody, or just being lost in the music, I think that's probably the one that I would think of as the quintessential Elvis track.
"Well, it took my baby, but it never will again. Never will again."
Woo!
Peter Guralnick is the author of Sam Phillips, The Man Who Invented Rock and Roll. He talked with Steve Paulson.